We want to read God's word this evening from Exodus chapter 18. And we're going to read from verse 1. Exodus chapter 18 and verse 1. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land, and the name of the other was Eliezer, for the God of my father, said he, was mine help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the Mount of God. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law, Jethro, am come unto thee, and thy wife and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and did obeisance, and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh, and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God, and Aaron came, and all the elders of Israel, to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. Amen. And we know the Lord will add his blessing tonight to the reading of his word to all of our hearts. If you turn to Numbers chapter 10, there are some verses there we want to tie in with that chapter that we have read in Exodus. Numbers chapter 10, it's verses 29, 30, 31 and 32. Verse 29, it reads, "And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my kindred. And he said, Leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be, that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee." Hobab was the brother-in-law of Moses. At 40 years of age, Moses was forced to leave the land of Egypt. That was because Pharaoh had heard what he did in killing the Egyptian who was persecuting the people of God. And Moses left the land of Egypt. He journeyed to the land of Midian. And there he providentially met up with the family of Jethro, which included Hobab and also Zipporah. Jethro instructed this family to bring Moses in and let him lodge in their house. The word of God tells us that Moses later married one of Jethro's daughters, named Zipporah. 40 years in the land of Midian he had to leave. This time it was the call of God to go back to the land of Egypt and to lead the people of God out of that land and to lead them to Canaan. On the way out of Egypt towards the land of Canaan, instead of taking the most direct route, the Lord took them in the direction of Mount Sinai, away down to the southern part of the Sinai Peninsula. God had certain words of instruction for them to receive before they would make any progress towards the land of Canaan. There were things that God had to say to them. There were things that they had to put in place. And when they were camped in this area, they were located very close to the land of Midian, very close to the place where Moses' father-in-law and where his brother-in-law lived. After all, it was at Mount Sinai that Moses had the great experience of meeting the Lord in the burning bush during his sojourn in the land of Midian. And he's back there. That reading that we had tonight mentions the fact that they were back at the Mount of God. In Exodus chapter 18, it mentions that fact to us. They were back at the place that was known as the Mount of God, very close to where his father-in-law and where his brother-in-law lived. And it's only to be expected that they would come and visit Moses. And that's what we read there about in Exodus chapter 18. It records that meeting. Israel spent almost a whole year camped at Mount Sinai. Just a couple of references to compare will soon inform you of that. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 1, it says, "In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they unto the wilderness of Sinai." So it was in the third month that they came to the wilderness of Sinai. Well, in that chapter in Numbers chapter 10, verses 11 and 12, it tells us, came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year, that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony, and the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Parah. So for almost a year, they came in the second month, they came in the third month, they leave in the second month. So virtually a year they have been encamped at Mount Sinai. And during that time, Moses' wife's family come to visit him. But when the time came for Israel to leave Mount Sinai and to start on that journey towards the land of Canaan, Moses pleads with his brother-in-law, this man Hobab, to come with them. Now Hobab is not the same as Jethro, his father-in-law. There are some people who think that, but if you look at that chapter that we read tonight, chapter 18, the very last verse, it tells us that Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. So Jethro had already gone back to his own land, gone back to Midian among his people. But it is to Hobab in Numbers chapter 10 and verse 29, his brother-in-law. It is to this man Hobab that Moses says, "You come with us. We're starting out on this journey and we want you to come with us. We're heading to the land of Canaan and we want you to come with us." Now there was a good reason, we are told there in those verses in Numbers chapter 10, why Moses wanted them to come with him. He said that thou shalt be to us instead of eyes. This man had experience of living in the wilderness. This man had experience of journeying through the wilderness. He knew where the watering holes were. He knew where the best places to camp were. And Moses thinks it would be great to have this man, Hobab, his brother-in-law, to come along with him. He thinks he'll be able to render us much assistance if he comes with us. And he pleads with him. You have it there very distinctly put in verse 29, "We are journeying on to the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel." I want us to take these words of pleading on the part of Moses, and I want us to consider them as an illustration of the gospel. How many times does a family member not plead with another family member? Come to Christ. Come and be saved. Come and join us on the way to heaven. How many times does somebody not plead maybe with their in-laws? Brother-in-law, father-in-law, mother-in-law, sister-in-law, to come to Christ and to be saved, and to join with that company that are on their way Canaan. And I trust that we'll be able to set that before you tonight. It is a great illustration here of the gospel, these words that we want to consider. The first thing I want you to notice there is the confidence that Moses had as to where he is going. This plea that he makes to Hobab is based upon the confidence that he has about where he is going and where the people of God are going. Look at those verses again. He says, "We are journeying on to the place of which the Lord has said, I will give it you. Come thou with us." You see, it is this confidence, this assurance that Moses has about where he's going, that then makes him to say to Hobab, "We're going to this place. We're sure of arriving in that place because God has promised us that we were going here. Now you come and join us as well. There's room for you to join the company. You can be numbered among this people, even though you are not naturally an Israelite. Even though you are a descendant of the Midianites, you can come and join with us, and you can be among that company that are going to the land of Canaan." Moses has confidence as to where he's going. The Lord has brought them out of Egypt on the night of the Passover. When the blood of the Lamb was shed, the Lord has brought them out that he might bring them in. They're going to the land of promise. How many do we not call Canaan the land of promise? Because that's what it was. It was a place that was promised to the people of God. And Moses highlights that truth there in verse 29. When he tells Hobab, we're journeying up to the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. And what greater confidence could anyone have than that? For the Lord to say, this is something you're going to have. This is something you're going to inherit. Here's a place you're going to arrive in. I have promised it. Canaan was the promised land. Canaan was going to be a good land. Look at the closing words of verse 29. Moses says, as to give further encouragement to this man to come and join with them, he says, for the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. So on one hand, he's talking about the place where they're journeying. Now he's talking about the good that's going to come to the people of God themselves. And he's bringing these two things together. And he's saying to Hobab, think about the place that we are going. Think about the good that's coming to the people who are going to this place. Now you come and join with us on the way. I think we can see there an illustration of the gospel. Every child of God has a similar confidence. They know where they're going. They are assured that the Lord will bring them safely to the heavenly Canaan. They have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and Christ has brought them out of the world, out of Egypt, to bring them home. And the ground of our confidence is exactly the same as the ground for Moses' confidence. It is the promise of God. God has promised that he's bringing his people home. John 14, verses 1 to 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What better confidence could a Christian have than that? We have the word of the Lord. He has gone to prepare a place for us. He's coming back to take us to that place, and we will certainly arrive there. There's not the slightest doubt about that. God has also spoken good about his people. It's a good thing to be saved. It's a good thing tonight to know Christ as Savior and to have our sins forgiven. There is so much good. There are so many blessings that come to that individual who is trusting in Christ and who is on the way to heaven. We can take the words there of Moses and we can apply them very much to the people of God and their experience of the way to heaven. The Lord has spoken good. Where do we start to speak about the good that will come to the people of God? There are great blessings. Paul tells us that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All spiritual blessings. The Lord has spoken good. And may the Lord even use that tonight to speak to you who are not saved. You don't have this good, not as yet anyway. You can't experience this good. You can't have that confidence. Because as it is tonight, you're still unsaved. You haven't come and joined this company. May the Lord even bring you to that place tonight. But it was a better place than they were presently experiencing. Israel were in the wilderness of Sinai. A waste, howling wilderness, an inhospitable place to be dwelling in. We learn a great deal about life in the wilderness, and it was anything but pleasant. It was a place designed to make Israel long for Canaan. If there was anything that was going to make this people long for Canaan, and long for better times, and long for a better existence, it was surely the wilderness. It was a waste, howling wilderness. There were many wants and many needs. There were many trials and many tribulations. There was disease and sickness and death all around them in the wilderness. But God had promised them a better place, the land of Canaan. Is it any wonder that Moses would seek to persuade his brother-in-law to come with them? One family member has departed, as we've noticed there from Exodus 18. His father-in-law has gone back to his own land. And Moses is thinking, my brother-in-law going to do the same? Is Obab going to take his leave of us? Is he going to go back to his own people and to his own land? And Moses begins to seek to persuade him, come and join us. We're going to a better place. And tonight, if you're unsaved, it's our desire to persuade you to come to a better place. Come and join the company that are going to heaven. In this world you will have tribulation, but heaven is a better place. It is a better place, for the Lord tells us that those things that make this place, this world, a place of tribulation, are going to be removed. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Those are all the things that cause this world to be a place of tribulation. And all of those things are going to be removed from that place that God has prepared, from that place to where a Christian is travelling. Now, my friend, if you're unsaved, why not come and join the company of God's redeemed? And you begin the journey to this better place. The confidence that Moses had as to where he was going. I want you to notice, secondly, the exhortation that Moses made to his brother-in-law. You see, this confidence, this conviction of where he was going, means he can plead in earnest terms with his brother-in-law. And I want you to notice just some of the terms that he employs there in verse 29. First of all, he says, come thou with us. Come thou with us. He desires Hobab to join them. He wants him to accompany them on the journey. Moses wants him to be there. Now, to do so, Hobab would have to leave his former life behind. He would have to change his whole manner of living. Instead of living in a settled fashion, he was going to have to become a pilgrim. He was going to have to start to live in a tent. An attempt that he would be taking down and packing up and moving on a journey and then pitching it again and then doing the very same thing over and over again the whole way until they would arrive in Canaan. That's not how he had lived it at present. He had lived in a fixed abode. He had lived in a fixed manner of living in a settled fashion. But Moses is saying to him, Hobab, I want you to give up that living in a fixed manner. I want you to come. I want you to join us. I want you to take up the pilgrim life. I want you to come with us to Canaan. Come thou with us. And the preaching of the gospel is an exhortation for the unconverted to do exactly the same. There has to be that leaving of a former lifestyle. There has to be a change of ways that come upon the individual who is converted and comes to Christ. You see that a whole different mentality comes over the individual who is saved, because no longer are they living in a fixed manner. No longer are they thinking, this world is all that there is and I'm only living for this world. But somebody who comes to Christ begins to realize, I'm only passing through here. I'm only a pilgrim. I'm sojourning. It's like taking down the tent and moving it on. As Kurt says in one of his hymns, he talks about a day's march nearer home. And every day the Christian thinks about that. I'm a day's march nearer home. This world is not our home. We're only passing through. And as one day passes and a new day comes, the Christian is conscious, I'm a day nearer home. There's a whole new change of lifestyle, change of mind and mentality that comes over the individual who is saved. And Moses says to Hobab, I want you to come and join us. I want you to come and live like a pilgrim. Leave just living for this world. Leave just thinking that this world is all that there is, and take up a new manner and mode of living. And we would plead with you tonight. God certainly pleads with you. He issues you those invitations, those commands in his word to come unto him and be saved. And tonight, my friend, we would plead with you as well. We know the good
that the Lord will do you. We've already tasted and seen that God is good. We have already begun to enjoy the blessings of salvation, and we want you to enjoy them as well. And we would plead with you tonight, come and join us. Come thou with us. Come to Christ and be saved. Moses tells Hobab there in those verses, we will do thee good. Not so much. The Lord will do thee good. That's true. But Moses says to this man, we will do you good. There's a benefit in being amongst us. There are blessings that are going to come down upon us collectively as the people of God. We will do you good. That's emphasized a little further down the chapter, verse 32. It says, it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. So Moses is explaining here what exactly he meant in those former words when he said, we will do thee good. Because he's thinking about the goodness that's going to come upon him and upon the other Israelites. And he's saying to Hobab, you can take a share in this. You can have the benefit of this. This journey that they were on was not for their harm. It was for their good. Mind you, there were some unbelievers among the Israelites who thought it was for their harm. And they weren't all that long out of Egypt, and still they started to complain. And they said to Moses, we want to go back. You've only brought us out here to bury us in the wilderness because there wasn't enough grain in Egypt. We want to go back. We want the onions and the leeks and the garlic and all the things that we had in Egypt. There were those who thought Moses was taking them to a place for their harm. But no. God was going to do them good. It was for their benefit. And Moses is here telling Hobab, you can have a portion. And tonight, my friend, you can have a portion in Christ. Others can have come. Others may be enjoying Christ and partaking of him. You can come tonight and have a portion. There's room at the cross for you. There's the benefits of salvation that you can enjoy. And tonight we implore you to come. We desire that you would partake of these blessings. What a depressing way it would be to end your days with no confidence of where you're going. And have only an awful end to look forward to. Oh, how much different it is for the people of God. Listen to a couple of references that Moses, where it records words that Moses spoke, reminding them of what the Lord is doing for them. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 16, talking about the Lord who led them through the wilderness, as who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. All the Lord was doing for them had this intention in mind, to do them good at their latter end. And tonight, my friend, that's what the gospel is about, to do thee good at thy latter end. But when your days are done in this world, that you're in glory, and that you're not lost and going down to hell forever, because you know not Christ and you're perishing in your sins. Deuteronomy 30 verse 5, similar words. The Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. Oh, that's the whole purpose of the Lord bringing Israel out of Egypt, bringing them into Canaan. It was to do them good. And tonight you can be a partaker in that good. You can join the company of God's redeemed and partake of that good. One further thing I want you to notice out of Numbers 10 and verse 29 there, and that's Hobab's answer to Moses. It's recorded for us, verse 30. And he said unto him, that's Hobab unto Moses, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. What an answer. Moses has pleaded with him. Moses has set it out before him. And Hobab says, "No, Moses, don't want to go. I want to go back to my own people. I want to go back to my own land." That's his immediate initial response. And it's typical of many and how they respond to the gospel. When they hear the gospel, when they hear those invitations and commands to come to Christ, they do the very same thing. They may even take the very same words and they say, "No, I'm not. I'm not going to be saved. I'm not going to come to Christ." Hobab was adamant that he's not going to join with Moses and the children of Israel in journeying towards the promised land. He refuses to accept the invitation. He resists this call to come and to join with them. And I wonder tonight, is Hobab a picture of you? And how you react to the gospel and to the claims of the gospel and the invitations of the gospel. And when you're exhorted, maybe by someone else, maybe by a family member, to come to Christ, that's your answer. You mightn't say those words directly to them, but that thought in your heart, you say, "I'm not going to go. I'm not going to come to Christ." Are you going to be like Hobab? His reason for saying no is given to us there. He wants to go back to his own land and to his own kindred. That's why he won't go. He wants to go back to his own ways, you see. He wants to go back to that manner of living that he has been accustomed to and that he has lived in for long enough. And he's going to stay like that. He wants to continue in his old lifestyle. He doesn't want to change. He doesn't want to give up those things. He doesn't want to become a pilgrim. Join the people of God. And sinners who reject the gospel often do so for the very same reasons. They want to remain in their old ways. Maybe they want to keep in with acquaintances, companions. They want the crowd that they have run with. They want the friends that they have associated with. They don't want to turn their back upon them. They don't want to give them up. Maybe there's sins of long standing in their life and they know, "I'll have to give these up if I come to Christ. I'll have to change my ways. I'll have to change these things and I don't want to do it." And their answer is, "No, I'm not coming. I'm not coming to believe in Christ." Moses won't let it lie like that. Verse 31, Moses presses here with a further entreaty. He said, "Leave us not, I pray thee. Leave us not." Moses knows this is important. He's not just going to take Hobab's answer and say, "Well, fair enough, you can go back." Moses presses the matter and he says, "Don't leave us, I pray thee." And that word, "I pray thee," has the idea of earnest entreaty. He's really pleading in strong terms. Maybe tonight, as the gospel is pressed upon your heart tonight, if you're unsaved and you're responding like Hobab did here initially, and you're saying, "No, I'm not going to come tonight. I want to press you. I want to press the gospel upon you tonight. I want to press upon you the claims of Christ. I want to take the words of Moses and I want to say to you, leave us not." Oh, don't do a thing like that. Don't turn away from Christ. Don't say no. Because who knows, it might be the last time you get the opportunity to say anything. Leave us not. Come to Christ. These verses don't go on to complete the story for us. Because it's evident from what we read, and we'll go to the reference in a moment or two, that Hobab relented. And he did accompany Moses and the Israelites into the land of Canaan. Go over to Judges chapter 4 and verse 11. And you'll discover here that the descendants of this man ended up in the land of promise. So that would infer to us that he must have come. He must have taken up the invitation when Moses pressed him that second time and said, "Leave us not, I pray thee. Come with us." That second entreaty prevailed upon him. And if you look at Judges chapter 4, And verse 11, it's this victory that was going to come to Israel during the times of Barak and Deborah. But verse 11 says, now Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent onto the plain of Zaananim, which is by Kadesh. So we're reading here about children of Hobab. Heber the Kenite, who was of the children of Hobab. So it would suggest to us this man did come with Moses. He did accompany the Israelites to the land of promise. He was found among them. This entreaty worked, that prevailed upon his heart. And there you have his descendants in the land of Canaan. And maybe tonight your first answer is like Hobab. But would God prevail upon you further tonight? You're not saved. Would the Lord come and speak again and press the matter to you again tonight? And press upon you the importance of being saved, coming to Christ. May you respond ultimately like Hobab did. May you relent. May you throw down the arms of resistance. May you come. May you come to Christ. Come, come with us, and we will do thee good. Come to the Saviour. Make no delay. May you even come tonight. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the claims, the pressing claims of the gospel, for the repeated exhortations that are given to us to come to thee. And we pray tonight that those that are unconverted will come. O Lord, draw them, we pray. May thy word prevail, even as the word of Moses prevailed upon his brother-in-law. We pray that thy word will prevail tonight in the hearts of the unconverted. And may it bring them unto thyself. May they believe on thee in simple faith to the saving of their souls. We thank thee for all the good that is coming to the people of God, that has come and will yet come. For Lord, we have just begun to enjoy the blessings of redemption. The end is not yet, and the best is yet to be. And O Lord, we do yearn that others would come. We are going home, O Lord, to glory soon. We will see this city bright. But there are others. There are those here tonight. They're still in their sins. We cannot leave them lost and alone. We want them over there. And we pray, O Lord, that thou will bring them to thyself. Work in all our family members. Lord, how many times have we sought to prevail upon family members, even as Moses did with Hobab? And their response has initially been the very same as his. O God, let thy word prevail further and bring them to thyself. May it bring them to join the company of God's redeemed that are going to glory. Bless thy truth, we pray. Be with us now as we come to a close tonight, as we would leave this place and go our separate ways. Grant us thy abiding presence, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.